Testing, testing. Hallelujah. Why don't we take 5 minutes and greet one another? Amen? 5 minutes. So get to know one another. There's some new people in here today. And so let's get to know some of them. Amen? Good to have you here. Hello. Richard. Yeah, good to have you, Mike. Come on. Come on. There you go. Ashley. Hey, Robert. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I had phoned someone to do a testimony this morning, and he hasn't called back since. So I guess he's not here. But anyway, I'm going to ask Larry to come up here shortly, not right now. Just want to make a few announcements. Larry Keetstra has been with Camp Living Water for the last month. So, amen. Too close. Anyway. Just wanted to mention the prayer retreat, the men's prayer retreat, coming up on September 16th, 17th, and 18th. Cost is going to be $75 this time, so hopefully more people will come. And we squeaked by the last time. But we had about 19 guys, actually 20, 21 people come out. So just greatly encourage you. You men, come on out. We're going out to Salem Acres. It's just maybe 10 miles out of Big Valley, just west of Big Valley. Amen. And we have a good time, awesome time. We had powerful breakthrough. I had a powerful breakthrough. Powerful. Amen. And some, many other men. So I encourage the men, get a hold of me today, next week, but get a hold of me soon. And so that'll be a cost of $75. Last week we weren't here. We were out west. We're out at Abraham's Lake, just out west of Nordegg. I tell you, I shared with the group that day or that morning, whatever it was, creation screams out loud that there is a God, and a God loves you. We were driving back. We had gone on this little hike up to this falls and stuff, and just coming back, and I tell you, man, the beauty of creation is just mind-boggling. And people have the nerve to say there is no God. Give me a break. Get out there and look at it. Go to City Hall Park. Get on your knees and look at some of these flowers that God has designed. It's absolutely crazy. Just absolutely crazy. Amen? So I encourage you to go camping or whatever the case may be. Whatever. Yes. Yeah, the mountains, man alive. We had such a... just a beautiful time, and we had full moon two nights there. Just, oh, man, it was just awesome. Wanted to mention also, Lift Up Red Deer. We had Lift Up Red Deer this past Thursday. And God is doing something in this city. God is doing something in this city of Red Deer. Amen. And we can participate with him, or we can, you know, not. The choice is yours. But I encourage you greatly, come and pray. You're not only praying for Potters, you're praying for the church and for the city of Red Deer. Aren't you glad that you're saved, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Glad? Woo! I tell you, hallelujah, you know. I served the devil for 24 years. I served him, you know. And I'll tell you, Jesus is the best landlord. He's the best man to serve in all our lives. Amen. It was the greatest and the best choice of my entire life. The best of all. When I bowed my knee and I said, Jesus, I need you. And if you haven't done that this morning, I greatly encourage you. Come and draw a line in the sand here and say, this is the day. The first day of the rest of my life. You will never regret it. Never. Amen?
Amen.
Just before Larry comes up here, Larry, just one more thing. A lot of us maybe don't understand why we're here. We're Christians, we're born again, da-da-da-da, and all this. We're going to heaven and stuff like this. But then we don't, well, you know, what am I doing? Well, I go to Potters, I go to Crossroads, I go to Living Stones, I go to Word of Life, whatever the case may be. Serving Jesus is more than going to church. Okay? This is just a 2-hour segment of your life. The rest of the week, God wants your whole life. He doesn't want 10% of Sunday. He wants 110% of it. So I greatly encourage you. This is the blueprint. This is the blueprint to life. Living with God here, the Bible. So I encourage you, read it, study it, apply it to your life. You will never go wrong. Amen?
Amen.
And the devil, I tell you, he's a liar. He's a defeated foe. Listen, he's defeated. Okay? Our greatest enemy, I'll tell you who he is. Who's your greatest enemy? Look in the mirror. That's the greatest enemy. That filthy thing will stop you and curtail you, keep you from rising up to become the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Amen? So it's you. You got free will. You can choose to serve Jesus, or you can choose not to serve him. It's your choice. It's your choice. Each of us individually have that choice. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. You know, give your life to Christ. You will never regret it. Larry, why don't you come up? Hallelujah. So, this is unexpected. I just let him know here about 5 minutes ago that he was going to be sharing. So he says, yeah, you bet. So here he is. Amen.
Thank you, Alvin. Yeah, it's good to be home with you and to see many familiar faces here. And always enjoy the worship in this place. Every time I come in, I just get filled up. It's great. Good to be here. As Alvin was saying, you know, we look at the incredible complexity of the universe and how God has put it all together. And this is the greatest proof of God that scientists are finding, that everything is just in order. And, I mean, it's just down to the very split second of how everything God has put into place. And when we see that in the universe, we should expect that in our lives, too. Somehow we don't, but we need to, you know, God takes care of every detail. He takes care of everything. And we really found that this year at camp, again, that God had it all planned. He had the staff and the people in place that he wanted to bless us this year. You know, in our estimation, sometimes we lose people. People, you know, get busy other places, and we had people go to the mission field, and we have people doing this and doing that, so they weren't able to come to camp, and some of our senior staff were gone. And yet God sent the right people to fill in all those places. And we have a new generation rising up that have been just awesome this year. And, you know, different people have different talents and abilities. And some people are really good at ministering at the altar call. Some people are really good ministering one-on-one. Some people are good at administration or in the kitchen or just taking care of details. And, you know, it's really awesome. Joycelyn and Marilise, they're so good one-on-one, just leading people to Christ and ministering to people, and we are so thankful that they were able to come and be there with us. We are really excited to have Sonny's grandkids there this last week, and that was awesome to get to know some of them, and that was pretty cool too. So it's just been good, and we just thank the Lord that he takes care of all these details and has a plan. And the other thing is, you know, what we really find in camp is that we just make an opportunity for God to move. That's all we can do. We can't make things happen. We can't make God move, but we can just say, God, we're going to prepare. We're going to prepare. We're going to do chapel. We're going to make that opportunity for you to come. And, you know, God is so faithful. He's so faithful to come and to move and to touch the kids and the teens. And I'm just amazed at this generation. There's a hunger in this generation. You know, we're raising a very pagan generation, a generation that doesn't know God. They don't get anything in school. They don't get anything in the media. They don't get anything about God anywhere. And yet they're hungry for God. They're hungry for him. And so we really have an opportunity at this time. The other thing we really see is that this culture is beating up our young people. They're just getting beat up by this culture. This culture just is negative. It's just breaking people. But that's an opportunity for the gospel. It's an opportunity for us to say, you know what, there's a God who loves you. There's a Heavenly Father out there who really cares for you. And so we really do have that opportunity to reach out to young people. And the thing about young people today is they don't just want truth. Our generation said, you know, it's true, therefore it must work. This generation says, it works, therefore it must be true. And they kind of turn that backwards. And we really need to believe God that he will help us to minister a gospel that works. Amen. That really touches. And this is why testimonies are so important. We need to polish up that testimony. And not just one from 30 years ago, but what's God doing today? What's God doing in our hearts today? What can God do for young people today to change them and help them? And I believe that there's a great harvest coming in these days that we live. So don't let the negativity of the culture, the negativity of what's going on around you bother you, but just look to Jesus, look to God. He's on the throne, he's working, and he's doing some powerful things. And I appreciate those who have been praying for us all this last couple months and just the support of the church and the family here. God bless you for that. And we just want to tell you that God hears our prayers and he's working and has really blessed us this past couple months as we've ministered to the young people. And just keep the reserves in prayer. Pray for the churches, the Christians that are on the reserve. This past week, we probably had more kids that came from Christian parents, Christian homes, and you can really see the difference and see how God blesses that. But, you know, it's hard living as a Christian on a reserve. And one of the pastors, he's fallen there, and he's back in recovery, you know, the church is continuing on. The people are staying strong, and we praise God for that. But we have to pray. So if you think of the native population of our region here, pray that God will strengthen the churches, strengthen the Christians, that they will be able to be a witness and a light in those communities, because that's so important. We can minister to the kids, you know, for the week that we have them, but then we have to send them back home. And they need that continual help and people that will follow them up and care for them. And we really need revival. And I really believe it's coming to the First Nations of our region. And we just need to keep praying. Amen. Thank you.
Stan, why don't you come up? Just going to get Larry just to pray for myself and Stan this morning.
Praise God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the men that you called to minister in this place. We thank you for your hand upon them, Lord, and Lord, that you have just given them grace to minister, grace to reach out. Lord, it's out of our brokenness many times, Lord, that light really shines and that your love and your truth can really come out through our brokenness. And so I thank you that even though there is a brokenness, Lord, there is a grace and a healing and a life. And Lord, we thank you that that's why you raised up this church. You raised up this church to heal broken people. And Lord, you bring them in and you heal them and you touch them. So Lord, we just ask for an anointing upon these brothers and everyone else that ministers in this place. You said that you gave the anointing to heal the brokenhearted, oh God, to set captives free, to bring sight to the blind. Lord, to declare the acceptable year of God, the year of freedom and deliverance. Lord, we declare that in Jesus' name. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, God. Just so good to hear from Larry and for all the different people, different ways that we're connected with Camp Living Water. A number of our people were able to be there to support that. And just to see how God is moving and changing lives. And such a great reminder today, and it's really the theme, is that God takes us out of our brokenness and he brings us healing and that he restores us. And he's a God of who shows us what the truth really is. And sometimes we feel pretty conspicuous. And he says, that's okay. Just press on. So that's what we're trying to do today, too. Just pressing on. And I'm sure glad that I came today. And I just feel some walls starting to break. And thank you for the worship. Thank you for the sharing. Couple things. On the 18th of September, we're going to have a baptism service in the river. I'm looking at a few of you. If you want to be baptized, if you know that God's called you and you're ready for something to change in your life, you're ready for some of that brokenness to be healed, I invite you to come. Baptism is for anyone who says, I just want to follow Jesus, and we want to be a part of that. You don't become a member of anything except Christ. You are a member of Christ when you get baptized. So we're going to the river on the 18th, and I invite you to think about that and to pray about that. And it's a great way to wash away our sins. And isn't that what we need? Right? We need our sins washed away and to watch it go down the river, watch it go down the current, that all that stuff that is in the past is in the past. It is no more. Amen? Okay, we're going to kind of celebrate that today. And just going to play a song. Can we play that song? Are you ready for that one? Maybe more for me than for you, but it's a song I heard a couple times this week. It's been, keep telling Crystal, here's my new favorite song. So this is my new favorite song. And it's a little bit of a punch to it. So if you're used to Great Is Thy Faithfulness or how it's not an old hymn, but this is one that is going to help me at least bring the word today. Go ahead. It's called Break the Chains.
If you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fire. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. You need freedom to save it.
Isn't that good? He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he can take those chains and set you free. Amen? And it doesn't matter what you are, you know, chained to, he can set you free from it, because that's the power of the gospel. It's the power of Jesus Christ. It's what we celebrate. It's the reason why we come to worship. We come broken, but we leave whole. We come as sinners. We leave forgiven. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to read in a few minutes from Philippians chapter 3. Like I said last week, my wife and I and three of our oldest kids, our oldest boys, we spent a couple weeks in Rio, and we were watching my fourth son play in the Olympics, which was an amazing experience. It was something we really enjoyed doing, and some of this message just comes out of that experience, the joy of being there, the challenge of athletics. And the Apostle Paul talks about athletics in different occasions. He talks about boxing. He talks about running. He even talks about wrestling, I think, somewhere. But the athletics were, of course, a huge part of the Olympics. And that and connecting that to pressing on. I'm just thinking about in Philippians where, you know, how that ties into being an athlete. You got to be able to press on. We got to be able to carry on. And even, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, I was saying that, you know, that's just the message that God keeps giving me. And I keep saying, for how long? He goes, that's just the wrong question. You don't get to ask that question. You'll know. I'll tell you when you don't need to press on. But the truth is, you're going to have to keep pressing on throughout this life. But press on through this. And I don't know what it is that you need to press on through. I'm figuring that out for myself. I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one. If I am the only one who needs this message today, I hope you'll bear with me. And clearly, I do need this message, but I'm hoping and believing that some of you need it too. And it is about that he's a chain breaker and that we need to press on. Press on. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't listen to the words that are out there. Listen to the word of God. Listen to what God is saying about you. Don't listen to what the enemy is saying about you. Press on. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't be discouraged. Don't go back to the vomit. Don't go back to that life. Don't go back to that person that you are not anymore. Don't go back. Don't go back. Press on. Forgetting what is behind me. How hard is that some days? Forgetting what is behind me and pressing on to what is ahead. Let's read that. It's in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I believe that it'll be on the overhead if you don't have your Bibles. And this is what Paul said. And he knows, you know, Paul probably knew this as well as anybody, that Jesus Christ is a prison-breaking or prison-shaking Savior. Because that's exactly what happened for him. And he writes this: not that I have already obtained all of this or that I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. I like how he says that. In other words, you don't agree with me, that's okay. We don't need to argue about it, but God will make it clear that I'm right and you're wrong. He doesn't quite say it like that. But, and here's a really, I'm not going to be able to get into this, but this is such a good verse, and I've been carrying this one. It's really hit me the other day. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. You've already attained this. You are already redeemed. You are already saved. So now live up to it. Just live up to it. You've already got it. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is their destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our, get this now, our citizenship, where we belong, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that on there? Yeah. I thought there'd be a few amens. I thought maybe it wasn't up. Let's say it again. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me just read that one verse over again. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. When we were in Rio, we got to see a bunch of different events. One of them was watching the decathlon, where men were running 100 meters as fast as they could. And if you know anything about the 100-meter dash, or that's what we used to call it when I was a kid, you look to the goal. If you're running that 100 meters and you keep looking beside you, I know they sometimes do that in the heats because they're fooling around and they're pretty fast and they can get cocky sometimes. But in the real race, when they are booking it down and trying to do this in 9.8 or 9.7 seconds, they don't look all around them. They look at the finish line and they run with an intensity. They run only with one thing in mind, and they are focused and they are faced on the goal, on the prize, and on nothing else. And the reality is, and this is really true, and any track coach will tell you this, if you look around while you're running, even if you take one glance to see where that guy is, you lose. You're done. You cannot look behind you. You've got to be focused. You've got to look forward. You cannot focus on what happened before. You've got to look at where you're going, on the prize. That's true for a whole lot of athletic events. Think about the guy who's the high jumper. You get three shots, I believe, at making, 7 foot something. And just imagine that person has tried that, two times, and both times he's knocked the bar down, and now they got one last try. There's one last shot at jumping over the bar, and if you jump over the bar, you're going to win a prize. You're going to get a gold medal. You know what they don't do? They don't go, oh, man, I just blew this twice. I hit the bar two times. I'm probably going to hit the bar again. I'm going to try it, but I don't think it's going to work. You know, that's not what they do. In fact, if you watch them, they slap in their hands and they're slapping their heads sometimes and they're gearing up. They're going, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. They're not thinking, man, I just missed it. I just hit that bar with my bum. They're not doing that. They're thinking, I am going to sail over this bar. I am going to make this. I am going to jump higher than I've ever jumped before. That's what they do. And that's how it is. Like, my son plays beach volleyball. And then I've talked to him about this before. And he goes, I can't think about what happened in the last play. I got blocked. Someone was there, a big 7 foot Dutch guy. He blocked me. I can't think the next time I swing at the ball, he's going to block me again. I just got to swing hard. I got to swing high. I got to do everything I got to do. I can't worry about what happened before. And that is what the scripture's saying to me and to you. You got to stop worrying about your past. You got to stop living in your past. You got to stop thinking that you are defined by the things that you've done. Because you are not. You are a child of God. You're no longer a slave to fear, like that great song says. You're a child of God. And what you've done in your past, the only thing that's important about that is that if you repent, it's completely gone. It's been removed, right? If you repent, there is no past. And isn't it a wonderful thing that our God does not dwell in our past? Sometimes we do that, and sometimes the enemy reminds us of our past. God doesn't dwell in our past. And he doesn't want us to dwell in our pasts either. He wants us to have the real, complete victory. Amen? He wants us to know. And here's the message today, is that the chains have been broken and that we don't need to live with that unforgiveness in our lives, that there is forgiveness and there's hope. And that is only possible one way. It is only possible through Jesus Christ. I'm reminded, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was a few months ago, that I had this revelation. I just never thought about it before. And that story of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, when they blew it, when they listened to what the enemy said, and they stood there naked, and they were ashamed, and they tried to sew fig leaves. Remember, I had someone sitting on the, I think it was Robin, I had her sitting on a chair, and she's trying to sew fig leaves. Fig leaves don't work very good. They don't sew too good together. But that we're told in Genesis chapter 3 that what God did, he did something unbelievable. He did something that I think we miss a lot, and that is that he took a skin of an animal and God himself. In other words, God made a sacrifice. It's the first sacrifice we hear about in the Old Testament, in all the scriptures. That God sacrificed an animal. He took the skin of that animal so that he could sew some kind of a cloth, some kind of clothing, so that Adam and Eve wouldn't need to be naked. Because that's how much God wants to redeem. God shed blood. Whatever that animal was, I don't know what it was. It doesn't say whether it was a lamb or a goat or a bear or who knows what it was. But God killed something. He started the process of sacrifice because God shows us his redemptive love. You get that? He shows us his redemptive love. He does not hold our sins against us. Thank you, Jesus. He does not hold our sins against us. He says, if you repent of your sins, you're forgiven. I wash you clean. It's why I sent Jesus. And I wanted to do a dawn. Don can't really hear me. He's out there back there. I'm going to do a dawn this morning because last week, Don, I think he recited 6,427 scriptures, if I remember exactly. And I thought, man, I want to be more like Don when I preach. So I'm not going to do 6,000. I'm going to do about 3,000. But, you know, what's important is that we hear God's word today. It's not important that you hear what I have to say. Because, you know, all kinds of things come out of a man. We need to believe this today that God is a forgiving God. And we say this all the time. And we celebrate it, but what does the Word of God, you know, really say? Does it really say that he doesn't hold our sins against us? Does it really say? Yes, it does. Well, let's prove it. I think we just need to do this. Is that okay if we take, honestly, I'll try to do this in 5 or 6 minutes. Let's put the first one on. I gave Jaron a few of these. We want to just hear what God's Word says. I need to hear what God's Word says. So in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 10, God says this, for I will forgive your wickedness, and I will remember your sin no more. He doesn't say, I'm going to remember it just a little bit. He says, I won't remember your sin anymore. Hebrews 12, or 10, sorry. You got that one? You got, okay, that's fine. No, that's the wrong one, so let me read the one. I probably gave you that one wrong, but let me just read what he says in Hebrews 10. He says in Hebrews 10, this is the covenant I will make with you after that time, says the Lord, and I will put my laws on your heart, and I will write them on your minds, and where these have been forgiven, where your sins have been forgiven, there no longer will be any sacrifice for sin. Amen? Because your sins are covered. Because they're finished. How about Isaiah? Do you got Isaiah there? Isaiah, let's read Isaiah 43. Are you following me? Did I give you the wrong ones there? Okay. I'll give you a second to catch up. Okay, I'll read it. Yes, you got it. You guys are ahead of me, so I'm going not going fast enough for Doug. Isaiah 43:25. He says, I'll read back up a verse, you know, where he says, you have burdened me with your sins, you have wearied me with your offenses, but I am he who blots out your transgressions. For my sake, I remember your sins no more. Is that clear? Is God saying that he doesn't remember our sins? Is there anyone who's not clear about this? That God forgives? Because it seems to me it's pretty clear. Let's try another one. What do you got there? See, Don is way better at this than I am. Okay, Corinthians. Let's try 2 Corinthians 5. You got that one? 2 Corinthians 5. Again, I'm just laying these out and asking you the question, is this true or not? Are we hearing the truth when we proclaim this truth that God forgives sin, and the only way he does that is through Jesus Christ, and that not only does he forgive our sins, but he doesn't even remember them? Because this is kind of important, and it's a big deal. So here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start reading there in verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Are you in Christ? You then are a new creation, and the old is gone, and the new is come. Isn't that good? The old, The old is gone. The old Pam is gone. I don't know where she is. God knows where she is. I don't care where she is. I'm glad that there's a new Pam, and I really like the new Pam. And there's a new Pam for only one reason, and that's because this Pam is washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen? The old is gone. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. There's a new Stan. There's a new Doug. You know, there's a new Mary. Amen? The old is gone. The old is gone, the old is dead, but there's a new Tara, there's a new Stan. And the new has come. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 21, he goes, "For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Isn't that good? In other words, because of Christ, because of the sacrifice, because God is a redeeming God, he just wants to restore relationship with us and him. He says, you are the very righteousness of Christ. You're the very righteousness of God. That when God sees you, and when you've repented, when you're washed in his blood, all he sees is righteousness. He just sees purity and holiness because he's paid the price. God made this kind of, you know, I don't know if you ever get these, I don't know, once in a while I just get a sort of a phrase that I hear from God. I know it's from God. And God said something to me this week. He just said, you know, you don't need excuses. And you should stop giving excuses. You need pardon. You don't need excuses. You need pardon. And that only comes through Jesus. Pardon, yeah. Psalm 103. Remember that if Don was doing this, there'd be like 87 of these. So don't go home and say, wow, he spent so much time. Okay, Psalm 103, verse 2 to 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives? Who? Who forgives? Who forgives all your sins? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Then verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, you get that? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Thank God for his word. Right? I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. This is too good. No one can make this up. Only God can say, here's the truth. The truth is that when you call on me, I don't remember your sins anymore. That your sins are as far away as the east is from the west. I love you. It's really what it is all about, right? It's that he somehow, and I'm not saying I get this exactly, inexplicably, God loves me. I don't deserve that love. I don't always understand why he loves me. But he says consistently over and over again, I do love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, and I'm not going to let you go. And I want to redeem you, and I want to get back into that right relationship. I want you to have that right relationship with me. I can break the chains. Whatever the chains are in your life, God says, I'll break those chains if you'll surrender to me. I really will. You believe that? One more. Just one more. And that's that, you know, Don last week read the story, and actually, Jason prayed it, the Lord's Prayer. Will you read that as we just finish up this? And there's so many more I could have read, but the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Do we have that on the screen at all or not? It's coming. Don't be in such a hurry, Stan. It's coming. Here's the Lord's Prayer. Here's the Lord's Prayer. It's coming. Okay, we start with, you can say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Stop. I know what we normally do now. We normally go, for thine is the power and the glory forever. It's actually It's actually not so clear that that's in here. Maybe you didn't know that. That's an ending that we say it at funerals. We say it, you know, when we get together sometimes in church. But let me say this, though. There is an ending to this prayer. I believe there's an ending that we've been forgetting. I believe we cut this prayer off too quickly, too early. And I wonder why we've done that. Because it's not really what Matthew or really Jesus who taught us. Here's what Jesus really said. When you pray, here's how I want you to pray, and I'll just jump to the end of it. Forgive us our debts, he says, as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. It does not end there. Then Jesus says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then the word amen should have come. What does it mean? It means, you know, that's how important forgiveness is. You want to be forgiven? You need to be a forgiver. You want to be wiped clean? You want the blood of Jesus to pour over you? Well, what about that person who harmed you? Or what about that person who sinned against you? What about the stuff that you're still carrying around? Are you willing to relinquish that? Are you willing to let that go? Because as much as you carry that, here's what Jesus really meant. As much as you carry that, as much as you nurse that wound, as much as you rehearse what that old ex-husband did or that old dealer or whoever that person is that hurt you in your life, as much as you rehearse that, as much as you nurse that, is as much as you're going to be forgiven. For you, now get this, and me, for us to really receive the grace and the mercy that God wants to give us, we need to be dispensers of that grace and mercy. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about how hurt you've been. You're thinking that person doesn't deserve it. You're thinking, I can't forgive that individual. I cannot go there. I'm going to tell you today that you can. With the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power that the Holy Spirit gives. And I'm going to move on here in a minute, but that if you're really going to forget what's behind you, and that's what the word says here today, and you're going to move on, if you're going to forget what's behind you, then you need to really leave it behind you. You will never be able to press forward until you've let that person go. And I know that he hurt you. I know that she was awful to you. I know maybe it's your mom or your dad. Maybe it's an old boss or who knows. But there's got to be some point in your life where you say, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to leave it at the altar. I'm going to leave that name of that person there, no matter how much damage that person has done to me. I'm going to leave it there because I will never be able to take a step forward as long as that person is still holding on to me. And I let that person, I allow the curse and the chains of that person to be strapped around my neck when I do not forgive. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. And I don't know how you can be any more clear. I don't know how you can be any more clear than that. Does Jesus proclaim a gospel of forgiveness, a gospel of hope? Well, thank God. Yeah, he does. Right? He sure does. What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? He said, Zacchaeus, even though you're a cheat, even though you're a tax collector today, I must come to your house today. Right? What did Jesus say to the prodigal son? He said, rejoice with me, for today my son who was dead is alive and he was lost and he's found. Rejoice. What did Jesus do from the cross? He hung on the cross and all the crowd and all the people around him included the executioners and the mockers and the insulters and the religious leaders who are a big part of this. And what did Jesus do? He didn't say, get him, God. Get him. Nail him. Some fire. Here we go. No. He said, Father, forgive them. Because they do not know what they're doing. Are you getting this? Is this truth? Like, if it's just my words, then just walk away. Don't do it. Don't listen. Don't heed it. It's Jesus who said, if you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Now, The second part of what Paul said, he says you got to forget what's behind you. The good news is God's forgotten what's behind you. The enemy, maybe not so much. And you know, I don't think we actually need to remind ourselves of our sins too much or our past, because if you're like me, you'll have enough people in your lives who will remind you of your past. There'll be enough, you know, reminders of the things that you blew. Do you ever have a day where you wish you could relive it? Man, I wish I didn't do that one thing, or I wish I didn't go down that road, or I wish I never used again. I don't know how that happened. Do you ever have those kind of days? Those things, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's the enemy. It's the enemy, and let's be clear about this, it's us. We're pretty good at reminding each other of that. We're pretty good at nudging and going, yeah, but remember when you blew it? Remember what you're really like? You know, you are a huge disappointment. Huge. Do you know that? Right? That's the enemy, and he often speaks, you're a loser, he'll say. You are such a sinner. And he will use us to remind each other of those things that God says we should have put behind us. So, are we getting this? Forgetting what's behind. You got to forget it. And forgiving ourselves in doing so by accepting this grace that God gives us. And then he says, pressing on. And what I want to say to you this morning in the few minutes that we've got left here is that those two things are not sort of step one and step two. It's just, they go together. In other words, if you really, maybe you're asking the question, well, how do I forget? Because that's such a hard thing to do. How do I forget my past? How do I forget how I've blown it? How do I forget those things I've done that I can't even explain? And the answer is you forget it by pressing on. In other words, the more we press forward, the more we're focused on being like Jesus, the more we're looking to the finish line, the more we are intent on being and living the way Jesus wants us to live, the more we're focused on moving forward and pressing on, the less that stuff behind us has any role in our lives. Do you understand that? Isn't that true? And it is so much. It's so much like that athlete, right? He's just ready to go. He's not thinking about what's behind him. He's just thinking about the prize. There's the prize. I'm gonna do. It doesn't matter what I've done before. It doesn't matter if I've stumbled before on this race. What matters is that right now I'm gonna hit the finish line, and I'm gonna do it to the best of my ability. And so this is such an important teaching. That if we can't just forget our past unless all of our focus and all of our attention is on pressing on. Just press on. Don't quit. Go. Focus. In other words, try to explain this. It's kind of hard to explain, but you can't think about, if you're thinking about your past, you don't forget about it, right? We can't think about it. The more you think about it, the more it becomes in our heads. Let me give you an example. Tim, stand up. I know you're always my go-to guy. If I said to you, you know, there's something about Tim I want you not to remember. Okay, so here's the lesson today. You are not to remember this, okay? I go like this now. Okay. Okay. Okay, now don't. Now close your eyes, right now, everyone close your eyes, and don't remember Tim's hair, okay? Everyone close your eyes, you're not listening. Close your eyes. Okay, right now, I want you not to remember Tim's hair. Are you not remembering his hair? And some of you are going, you're trying to think of horses, and you're thinking applesauce, and you're thinking, whatever you do, don't remember Tim's hair. Okay, you can open your eyes. The point I'm trying to make, I'm not sure I'm succeeding, is if you think about, you think about the things you're not supposed to remember, you remember them, right? Right? If you can't get it out of your head. And some days, we spend the whole day wallowing in our past because we just keep thinking about it. We keep regretting it. We keep listening to those voices that try to remind us of it. We have to stop thinking about Tim's hair, okay? So if you leave here today, you go, well, what was the message about? It was, stop thinking about Tim's hair. Don't think about it. because it doesn't matter. Tim's hair absolutely doesn't matter at all. It doesn't. What matters is not what's behind, but what's ahead, and focusing on what God has called us to heavenward. And I'm going to just end on this, because this is what it is. It's the cross. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the promise that God makes where he says, you know what? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what they say about you. What matters is I love you, and I forgive you, and I want a restored, redeemed relationship with you because you're my son, you're my daughter. I love you so much. And so we press on. What does it mean to press on? It means we want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus more and more. I'm going to press on. I want to show the kindness. I want to show the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ to the people that are around me. That's a hard thing to do. Do you find that too? It's easy to be judgmental. Sometimes I fall into the same hole that, you know, that I blame other people who are judging me. I do the same thing. I want to be like Jesus. I want to focus on being like Christ. I don't want to be judging. I let Jesus and the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, take care of that. We don't need to judge other people, right? Paul said to the Philippians, our citizenship, he ended, you know, Philippians 3 with this really encouraging picture. He says, our citizenship is not on earth. My real passport says that I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. The blue one I've got says that I belong to Canada, but the really important one says that I am a citizen. I have a passport. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And then Paul says, and we eagerly await. Did you hear that? We eagerly await a Savior who will come from heaven. He is Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen? So what is our focus? What are we pressing on? We're pressing on to serve him, pressing on to run the race, pressing on to win the prize, showing mercy, showing grace, telling people that there's hope. Man, there are so many people who need to hear the message that there's hope, right? You guys all know it. You're hearing it. I don't know if you all know it, but you should by now. Man, there's hope. Jesus Christ came so that we would have hope. So that we wouldn't have to be overcome by whatever the addiction or the chain or the past or the anger or the greed or the fraud, whatever it is in your life or in my life, there's hope to overcome those things. And in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways, it's this sort of this picture that God's been really giving me. He says, you are either in the crowd of the cheerers, or you are in the crowd of the jeerers. Which is it going to be? Either the crowd of the cheerers or the jeerers. And really, it'll define what kind of a church we really are or who we're going to be. Are we going to be cheerers or are we going to be jeerers? Cheerers are the kind of people that go, it's okay, Annie, you're going to make it. Don't give up. Keep moving. We love you. Jesus loves you. He forgives you. There's mercy. Keep going. Keep going. Press on. That's what a cheerer does. A jeerer says, you will never amount to anything. You are a loser. You are a huge disappointment to God and to everyone around. You stumble, and it's obvious. You are without any value or worth. Who are we going to be? We're going to be cheerers, where we say, keep at it. Don't quit. I'll walk with you. I've got your back. I don't know how many people have said that to me just recently. I've got your back. You're going to make it because God loves you. You're a cheerer. We focus on pressing on to the prize. Strength and glory. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. going to pray. I'm just going to ask God to, there's a lot of stuff in there. I want you to think this morning, maybe, Jaron, you can just get ready to play that song one more time that we played, all right? And I'm going to give you the opportunity to come forward. Maybe there's someone that you need to forgive. Maybe it's you. We need to just be able to come to the altar, to come to the front. Because you know, if you know today, you're hearing today this message, you know that God's speaking, there's something in your past that you need to release and let go of it. There's someone who's hurt you. You keep thinking about Tim's hair. That's really what you're doing, right? That's all you got in your head. That's going to hold you back. Tim's hair is going to hold you back, and you're not going to be able. I think you're following this metaphor, but I'm not positive. You're going to press on. You cannot press on unless you've let this go. And I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to ask Tim and Barb to come up. And ask Crystal to come up. Maybe Larry, you join us as well. Would you guys just come in the front right now? And I would like you to pray as we hear this song one more time. Because there's a chain in your life that needs to be broken. Just turn it up, Jared. Just come. If you want to come, come now. Come now. That's right. There's a better way. There's a better life. Amen?
There's a better life.
Yeah, thank you, God.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker.
It's time for a new beginning. Come.
If you need freedom,
it's time to come. Thank you, God. Just come now. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. It's time to let the past be the past. Leave it behind you, forgetting what is behind you. Come on up, man. Come on up. Praise God. Thank you. Margaret, come on up here. We need more prayers. Thank you, God. Cheryl and Ted, you want to come up? Let's pray together. Come on up. If you're ready to say goodbye to your past and bury it for good. Margaret, will you pray here? Thank you, Jesus. He's a pain breaker. Thank you. Amen.
He's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison chef, he's a savior. He got chains. Oh, he's a chain breaker.
Amen. There's still time. I know that there's more of us today. Just time just to break off, isn't it?
If you can feel
resentment, bitterness.
Somebody testify.
Time for the break off.
If you believe it, you
Amen.
Receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify.
Amen.
Testify.
I want you to pray this. Okay.
If you believe it,
thank you, God.
If you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking savior. You got shame. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain. Feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been here,
may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
There's a better life.
Press on. Press on. Amen.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day.